Hussein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute and Bill Raja of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. The story is about a man named Sirajuddin Haqqani, one of the Haqqani clan. And the story is Sirajuddin Haqqani, power in Afghanistan in hands of religious scholars. Bill, remind everyone, what is the Haqqani clan? What do they mean for Afghanistan?
Yes, John, the Haqqani clan, or often referred to as the Haqqani network, this is a powerful Taliban subgroup. Sirajuddin Haqqani himself is not only the interior minister for Afghanistan, one of the two most powerful positions next to the defense minister, but he's also one of two deputy emirs for the Taliban. The Haqqani clan is responsible for bringing Osama bin Laden to Afghanistan. It helped the Taliban reignite its insurgency. It has a foothold, a stronghold, really, in North Waziristan and Pakistan, where it helped direct the insurgency, as well as shelter numerous al-Qaeda leaders, the drone strikes in Pakistan from 2005 up until 2017. I would estimate more than half of those strikes were conducted against safe houses that housed top al-Qaeda leaders and operatives, as well as members of the Afghan Taliban and other terrorist groups. But the Haqqanis, they're listed as a foreign terrorist organization. The group itself, numerous leaders, including Sirajuddin Haqqani, are listed as specially designated global terrorists by the U.S. government for their ties to al-Qaeda and their violence in Afghanistan. They're responsible for putting the Taliban band back together after the Taliban played Weekend at Bernie's with Mullah Omar's corpse from 2013 to 2015 when they tried to hide his death. Once that was disclosed, many powerful Taliban factions, including one led by Mullah Yaqub, who's now the defense minister and Mullah Omar's son, they were breaking apart. The Haqqanis put that back together, and they're a kingmaker for the Taliban. They are as extreme as any other faction. And John, you know, we hear a lot of talk about moderate Taliban and the Haqqanis are pragmatic. This is all nonsense. There's very little difference. It's on the margins between Mullah Yaqub, who's the son of Mullah Omar, Mullah Habibullah Akhundzada, who's the emir of the Taliban, and Sirajuddin Haqqani. You know, you can put a credit card between the differences of these groups. The differences are on the margins. They're all extremists. The Haqqanis are a prominent one, are a powerful one, but they're not the only one in Afghanistan.
Mr. Ambassador, we have from these last days a report from Sirajuddin Haqqani saying that Pakistan, as one of the hosting countries of refugees from Afghanistan, has turned all its good actions regarding the Afghan refugees into hostility. That suggests this story from Reuters most recently is relevant to Afghanistan. Pakistan's Supreme Court began hearings Friday, December 1st, on a petition by rights activists seeking to halt deportation of Afghan refugees as authorities are combing refugee settlements in an effort to find and send home thousands. What is the status of this direction that Afghan refugees, whether or not they've ever lived in Afghanistan, must return? Is that ongoing?
It is, but of course it's a violation of international law. The U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Refugee and Migration Affairs is right now in Pakistan trying to talk to the Pakistanis, although the Americans have decided, the Biden administration has decided to focus only on those Afghans who came into Pakistan after the fall to the Taliban of Afghanistan and ensure that while they are being processed for resettlement in the U.S., they should not be expelled, instead of talking about the entire Afghan refugee population. This court case will obviously revolve around the issue of Pakistan violating its commitments under international law to protect refugees. Pakistan is a signatory to the Refugee Convention. But look, everything in that region doesn't happen according to law, unfortunately. About 400,000 Afghans have already been forced into Afghanistan from Pakistani refugee settlements. Pakistan says it's making a distinction between illegal migrants and refugees. Where have we heard that before? And so life is going to be difficult for the poorest and the strong ones and those with links to intelligence services, those with links to Taliban leadership. They are probably not going to be expelled. So let's see how the court decides and whether the authorities actually implement the court decision. But life is tough for the poor Afghan refugees who are in Pakistan.
Sirajuddin Haqqani saying that Pakistan has turned its good works, Kabul's good works, into hostility. Is there a conversation, relationship between the Islamabad government and the Kabul government? Do they talk?
Yes, of course they do. Remember, the Taliban were hosted in Pakistan. Almost the families of many of them are still in Pakistan. I believe the Haqqani network, most of these leaders of the Haqqani network and their families have been in Pakistan for more than 20 years. They are deeply embedded with elements of Pakistan's intelligence services who helped them when the Americans were present in Afghanistan. So it's a complicated relationship going back many, many years. Sirajuddin Haqqani's father was based in Pakistan. He studied in Pakistan. And from Pakistan, they launched the anti-Soviet jihad and then continued to be influential in Afghanistan by controlling certain parts of Afghanistan. So his statement is essentially, I think, a political statement to reassure Afghans that he and the government are not just going to be Pakistan's puppets but they do maintain relations with Pakistan and cannot afford not to, because Afghanistan is a landlocked country and the nearest port is the port of Karachi in Pakistan.
One more detail, Mr. Ambassador. There is reporting that India, Delhi, is opening conversations or continuing conversations with Kabul, Afghanistan. Is that a reliable report? And what does that mean for the region, Delhi and Kabul working side by side?
It's ironic, but it's exactly how I had predicted, because Pakistan's obsession about Afghanistan and supporting these Taliban was based on the assumption that we are trying to make Afghanistan safe for Pakistan by excluding India, and the assumption that an Islamist government in Kabul will not be as friendly towards India as a Republican government in Afghanistan was. But, of course, international affairs, international politics is never just about ideology. It's also about pragmatism. And it makes sense for the Taliban to reach out to the Indians and for the Indians to reach out to the Taliban. Now, India will, of course, have to tread very carefully. It has always been the biggest friend and supporter of liberal elements in Afghan society. It maintained good relations even with the communist regime at that time, saying that India will always support the more enlightened, progressive, and modern elements of Afghan society, considering that Pakistan always supported the more Islamist elements. So India will have to tread carefully that it does not burn bridges with other elements of Afghan society. But yes, it makes sense for both of them strategically to start talking to each other.
Bill, the Haqqani Network. Recently, I had a conversation with an author about the CIA, Liza Mundy. Her new book is The Sisterhood, and it's a story of the whole decades of the CIA. I recommend the book because it's a telling from the point of view of the women who were ignored but were vital for the DI, the Director of Intelligence of Analysis. One of the details that came up, Bill, was the Coast attack of 2009. We remember it very well because you at Long War Journal covered the death of seven CIA agents at once because of a bomb wrapped around a physician who was believed to be sympathetic to the U.S. and the Afghanistan Republic, who blew himself up upon his return. You remember that story very well, Bill. Do I have correct that it was the Haqqani network that was part of that attack, that Haqqani was working with al-Qaeda at the time?
You are correct. So that attack occurred in an area that was controlled by the Haqqani network. It was actually executed by the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, which, of course, is an al-Qaeda ally. But the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan does not move into that area without al-Qaeda or anyone else without the approval of without the Haqqani. So the Haqqanis were involved in this without a doubt. This is where, and at that time, what's interesting is
we have 30 seconds, Bill. Go ahead.
Sure. Saying that the Haqqanis were pragmatic and they weren't extremists. And then here you go. You have the Haqqani sponsoring a suicide attack against the CIA. So the Haqqanis have always been one of the more radical elements of the Afghan and Pakistani Taliban as well.
The CIA remembers. COAST 2009, the Haqqani Network. Bill Rajos, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Hussein Haqqani, the Hudson Institute, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,